Om Shri Sai Ram. I offer my most loving and reverential pranams at the lotus feet of our beloved Lord and Master, Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba. Dear brothers, sisters, revered elders and guests, I welcome you all to this morning session on the second day of this wonderful conference strung around the theme Living with Shri Satya Sai. At this juncture, I am reminded of a doha from the famous poet Sant Kabir Das. He said, Sab aave us ek mein, dal pat fal phool, kabira baki kya raha, jo gai pakdi mool. He says that if you want to embrace the entire banyan tree, it may be impossible for you. But if you can catch hold of the roots of the tree, then the entire tree belongs to you. Similarly, sitting at the divine lotus feet today, which is the root of this entire creation, dear brothers and sisters, nothing else remains to be achieved. And what a great opportunity to have this wonderful conference sitting at his lotus feet. And I personally believe that mere participation in this conference is in itself an opportunity to live with our beloved Lord Shri Satya Sai. When I was going through this program this morning, a question struck my mind. Is there anything that is mightier than the Almighty Himself? And yes, there is, brothers and sisters. It is His name itself. The power of the name is more powerful than the Lord Himself. You may recall the incident from Ramayana when Rama was at the bank, at the shore of the sea, and he wanted to construct the bridge. He himself put up stones into the sea and the stones sunk down. But when the name of the Lord was written on the stones and then the stones were placed into the sea, they started to float. Thus, it proves that the name of the Lord is mightier than himself. And Swami says, all names are mine. You can call me by any name. But drawing context to this conference, the first session today is the Ashtotra Shatnamavali, which consists of the 108 most beautiful specific names of our Lord. And to highlight the importance of this Ashtotra Shatnamavali, we have amidst us today Dr. Aparna Tiwari, the State Education Coordinator of Shri Satya Sai Seva Organizations, Madhya Pradesh. Dr. Aparna Tiwari is an alumnus of the first batch of Shri Satya Sai Balvikas that commenced in 1970 at Jabalpur in Madhya Pradesh. She is a blessed recipient of the Shri Satya Sai Balvikas Diploma signed by Bhagwan himself. She is a member of Gender Sensitization and Internal Compliant Committee, Madhya Pradesh High Court. With 4 gold medals to her credit as part of her academic achievements at several levels, Dr. Tiwari completed her PhD in Sanskrit in record time. Her marriage was consecrated by Bhagwan himself. As per the divine instructions, she has not taken up any job and has dedicated her life to the divine mission. She has been serving as the State Education Coordinator since 2013, Dr. Aparna Tiwari.
Om Shri Sai Ram. അഖണ്ഡം സച്ചിദാനന്ദം അവാങ് മനസ് ഗോചരം ആത്മാനമഖിലാധാരേ ആശ്രയേ ഭീഷ്ട സിദ്ധയേ. മൈ ഹംബൽ പ്രണാംസ് അറ്റ് ദ ലോട്ടസ് ഫീറ്റ് ഓഫ് ഭഗവാൻ ആൻഡ് സൈറാം ടു ഓൾ ദ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് പ്രസന്റ് ഹിയർ ഇൻ ദിസ് ഡിവൈൻ അസംബ്ലി. അക്കോർഡിംഗ് ടു ഭഗവത്ഗീത, ലോർഡ് കൃഷ്ണ ഹാഡ് അഷ്യോർഡ് അർജുൻ, യഥാ യഥാ ഹി ധർമ്മസ്യ ഗ്ലാനിർഭവതി ഭാരത അഭ്യുത്ഥാനമധർമ്മസ്യ തദാത്മാനം സൃജാമ്യഹം. In order to fulfill his commitment, he took birth in Puttaparthi. Aur Arjun ko diye us aashwasan ko ki main janma lunga jab jab dharma ki hani hogi, use pura karne ke liye aaye mere bhagwan Puttaparthi mein aaye. Om Shri Sai Puttaparthi Viharine Namah, Om Shri Sai Puttaparthi Nivasine Namah, Om Shri Sai Parthi Kshetra Nivasine Namah. ഓം ശ്രീ സായി ചിത്രാവതി തട്ടപുട്ടപർത്തി ബിഹാരിനെ നമ. ലോർഡ് കൃഷ്ണ ഹാഡ് ഓൾസോ അഷ്യോർഡ് പരിത്രാണായ സാധൂനാം വിനാശായ ച ദുഷ്കൃതാം ധർമ്മ സംസ്ഥാപനാർത്ഥായ സംഭവാമി യുഗേ യുഗേ, ദാറ്റ് ഹി വിൽ പ്രൊട്ടക്ട് സാധുജൻ. ഓർ മേ ആപ് സഭി യഹാ ബൈഠേ ഓർ സമ്പൂർണ വിശ്വമേ ബൈഠേ ഉൻ സാധുജൻ കോ പ്രണാം കർത്തി ഹൂ ജിൻകേ രക്ഷണ കേ ഭഗവാൻ കോ യഹാ പേ അവതാർ ലേനാ പഡാ. ഓം ശ്രീ സായി സാധുജൻ പോഷണായ നമഃ, ഓം ശ്രീ സായി സാധുജൻ രക്ഷണായ നമഃ, ഓം ശ്രീ സായി സാധു മാനസ് ശോഭിതായ നമഃ. ഇൻ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശത നാമാവലി ദർ ആർ 108 നെയിംസ് ഓഫ് ഭഗവാൻ ബാബ. Each name of Ashtottar has a meaning, has a story and some or the other significance behind it, like Jodi Adi Palli Somappai Nama. Story aap jante honge ki Bhagwan kaise Somappa banke aur us bachchi ki unhone raksha ki thi. Ashtottar Namavali has been approved and blessed by Bhagwan. Namavali is the bridge between Swami and his devotees. All the names start with Om, Shri, Sai and end with Namah. Om is Pranav Nath, Adi Nath. Om is the first ever sound of universe. Maharshi Patanjali ne jab Patanjali Yog likha hua tha, usme us पतंजल योग को हम निरीश्वरवादी मानते हैं, किंतु उसमें भी निराकार रूप को मानते हैं पतंजलि. और उसमें उन्होंने लिखा था कि अष्टांग योग, यम नियम, आसन, जप, ध्यान, प्राणायाम, समाधि जितनी परिश्रम के द्वारा, अनेक वर्षों की तपस्या के द्वारा मिलती है, वह केवल एक क्षण में ईश्वर प्रणिधान अर्थात भगवान की भक्ति से मिलती है. और वह भक्ति भी तस्य वाचको प्रणव, उस भक्ति का वाचक प्रणव है, वह ओम है जिसको भगवान ने हमें दिया हुआ है, जिसकी उपासना के द्वारा हम अष्टांग योग को प्रतिदिन पूरा करते हैं. श्री स्टैंड्स फॉर प्रोस्पेरिटी एंड रिस्पेक्ट. साई मीन्स डिवाइन पेरेंट. यह साई नाम रामचरितमानस में भी जब भगवान किष्किंधा कांड में हनुमान जी को मिले थे तो उन्होंने हनुमान जी से पूछा था आप कौन हो. हनुमान जी ने उत्तर दिया था मोरा न्याऊ में पूछऊ साई, तुम पूछऊ कस नर की नाई. हे स्वामी, मैं तो जानता नहीं था कि आप कौन है, पर आप कैसे मनुष्य के समान मुझे पूछ रहे हैं, आप तो स्वामी हैं. इसी बात को कबीर दास जी ने कहा था, तेरा साई तुझ में ज्यो पुहपन में वास. तो तुम्हारे अंतस्थ में व्याप्त जो आत्मा वह साई है, वह साई, वह माता पिता, वह डिवाइन मदर एंड फादर भगवान, उनको हम प्रतिदिन अष्टोत्तर के साथ याद करते हैं. और नमः नमम कंप्लीट सरेंडर. सर्वधर्मान परित्यज्य मामेकम शरणम व्रज. अष्टोत्तर शत नामावली में एक नाम आता है, ओम श्री साई गीता बोधकाय नमः. इसी इंटरव्यू रूम में मैं अपने फादर के साथ बैठी थी. स्वामी से मेरे फादर ने पूछा, स्वामी मन चंचल, हाउ टू कंट्रोल. और मैंने स्वामी के मुख से गीता के 6वें अध्याय के लगातार श्लोक निकलते गए स्वामी गीता का ज्ञान, ओम श्री साई गीता बोध काय नमः, उन्होंने गीता का ज्ञान प्रदान किया और कहा कि सब कुछ का सार केवल एक है, नाम स्मरण। इसलिए प्रतिदिन नाम स्मरण, स्वामी ने कहा कि नाम स्मरण साई स्मरण अभ्यासेन्तु कौन्तेय वैराग्येन्तु गृह्यते। और स्वामी ने कहा कि कलयुग केवल नाम आधारा, सुमिर सुमिर नर उतर ही पारा। नाम स्मरण इज द की टू कंट्रोल द माइंड। मैं एक घटना आपको बताना चाहूंगी। मैं आंध्र प्रदेश के श्रीहरिकोटा नेल्लूर डिस्ट्रिक्ट में रहती थी। मेरे हस्बैंड वहां सर्जन थे हॉस्पिटल में। मेरी 1.5 ईयर्स ओल्ड डॉटर इमर्शन रॉड के पास दौड़ के चली गई। गर्म थी और उसकी लेफ्ट आई पूरी तरह वाइट हो गई। इमीडिएट हम उसको श्रीहरिकोटा, सुल्लूर पेठा, नायडू पेठा तीन जगह लेके गए। टोटल 6 आवर्स हो गए होल डे। डॉक्टर्स ने कह दिया, ऑप्थल्मोलॉजिस्ट ने, कि केवल इसकी आंख 21 डेज के बाद ही बता सकते हैं कि इसमें रोशनी है या नहीं है, ये देख सकेगी कि नहीं देख सकेगी। शाम को जब हम वापस आए तो मैं अपनी बेटी को मैंने स्वामी के फोटो के सामने लेटा दिया। स्वामी ने क्रिएटेड विभूति जो मुझे मैरिज के समय दी थी उसकी आंख में डाली। शाम रात में 9 बजे जब हमने तय किया कि सुबेरे एग्मोर आई हॉस्पिटल और शंकर नेत्रालय चेन्नई जाके दिखाएंगे, मैंने देखा कि 50% उसकी आंख ठीक थी। सवेरे उठ के जैसे ही हम तैयार हुए और निकलने के लिए कि उसको उठाया, सुवर्णा कंप्लीट ठीक थी, कुछ नहीं था उसकी आंख में, पूरी ठीक। केवल विभूति, ओम श्री साई आरती त्राण हराय नमः, ओम श्री साई अनाथ नाथाय नमः, ओम श्री साई असहाय सहायाय नमः। जहां मेरा कोई नहीं था, कोई टेलीफोन नहीं थे उन दिनों, कोई रिलेटिव नहीं था, स्वामी थे जिन्होंने सर्व बाधा हराए नमा। एग्मोर हॉस्पिटल के डॉक्टर्स भी आश्चर्य में थे, ले गए हम फिर भी, उन्होंने कहा कुछ नहीं है। इन 1990 आई यूज टू बी वेरी सैड बिकॉज आई हैड 2 यंग डॉटर्स टू लुक आफ्टर एंड वॉज अनेबल टू डू मच स्पिरिचुअल साधना। स्वामी बोले, इतना क्यों परेशान रहती है? बोले, स्वामी इस जीवन का लक्ष्य क्या है, इस जीवन संसार? स्वामी बोले, नो, केवल पूरी स्पिरिचुअल साधना यदि करना है तो 108 अष्टोत्तर शत नामावली का प्रतिदिन पाठ करो, स्वामी ने मुझसे कहा। और उसको जितनी भी साधना, जितना भी इस एज में तुम्हारे लिए करना है, उसका पूरा पुण्य फल तुमको स्वामी देता है। स्वामी ने कहा, नवधा भक्ति जितने जितने प्रक्रिया से जाती है वह तुमको मिलेगी केवल अष्टोत्तर शतनामावली का पाठ करने। उस दिन से मैंने लगातार अष्टोत्तर शतनामावली का पाठ करना शुरू किया। मुझे लगता है स्वामी ने उसी दिन शायद तय किया होगा कि मुझे आज यहां बोलना है, इसलिए उनने 28 ईयर्स से मुझे अष्टोत्तर शतनामावली का रोज पाठ करने का आदेश दिया था। देयरफॉर ब्रदर्स एंड सिस्टर्स, आई रिक्वेस्ट ईच वन ऑफ यू टू चेंट अष्टोत्तर शतनामावली एवरी डे। आई होप एवरी वन हैज गॉट द ब्रोशर विथ यू। ब्रदर एंड सिस्टर, वी ऑल विल स्टार्ट ए कलेक्टिव रेंडिशन ऑफ अष्टोत्तर शतनामावली। सिस्टर्स ऑफ कर्नाटका एंड मध्य प्रदेश आर लीडिंग द नामावली। स्वामी, वी आर चेंटिंग अष्टोत्तर शतनामावली in your divine presence. Thank you, Saira.
Oh. ओम श्री साई अनंत नुत कर्तृणे पुरुषाय नमः ॐ श्री साई आदिशक्तये नमः ॐ श्री साई अपरूपशक्तिने नमः ॐ श्री साई अव्यक्तरूपिणे नमः ॐ श्री साई कामक्रोधध्वंसिने नमः ॐ श्री साई कनकाम्बरधारिणे नमः ॐ श्री साई अद्भुतचर्याय नमः ॐ श्री साई आपद्बान्धवाय नमः ॐ श्री साई प्रेमात्मने नमः ॐ श्री साई प्रेममूर्तये नमः ॐ श्री साई प्रेम प्रदाय नमः ॐ श्री साई प्रियाय नमः ॐ श्री साई भक्त प्रियाय नमः ॐ श्री साई भक्त मंदाराय नमः ॐ श्री साई भक्त जन हृदय विहाराय नमः ॐ श्री साई भक्त जन हृदयालयाय नमः ॐ श्री साई भक्त पराधीनाय नमः ॐ श्री साई भक्ति ज्ञान प्रदीपाय नमः ॐ श्री साई भक्ति ज्ञान प्रदाय नमः ॐ श्री साई सुज्ञान मार्गदर्शकाय नमः ॐ श्री साई ज्ञानस्वरूपाय नमः ॐ श्री साई गीताबोधकाय नमः ॐ श्री साई ज्ञानसिद्धिदाय नमः ॐ श्री साई सुन्दररूपाय नमः ॐ श्री साई पुण्यपुरुषाय नमः ॐ श्री साई फलप्रदाय नमः ॐ श्री साई पुरुषोत्तमाय नमः ॐ श्री साई पुराणपुरुषाय नमः ॐ श्री साई अतीताय नमः ॐ श्री साई कालातीताय नमः ॐ श्री साई सिद्धिरूपाय नमः ॐ श्री साई सिद्धसंकल्पाय नमः ॐ श्री साई आरोग्यप्रदाय नमः ॐ श्री साई अन्नवस्त्रदाय नमः ॐ श्री साई संसार दुःख क्षयकराय नमः ॐ श्री साई सर्वाभीष्ट प्रदाय नमः ॐ श्री साई कल्याण गुणाय नमः ॐ श्री साई कर्म ध्वंसिने नमः ॐ श्री साई साधु मानस शोभिताय नमः ॐ श्री साई सर्वमत सम्मताय नमः ॐ श्री साई साधु मानस परिशोधकाय नमः ॐ श्री साई साधकानुग्रह वट वृक्ष प्रतिष्ठापकाय नमः ॐ श्री साई सकल संशय हराय नमः ॐ श्री साई सकल तत्व बोधकाय नमः ॐ श्री साई योगीश्वराय नमः ॐ श्री साई योगीन्द्र वंदिताय नमः ॐ श्री साई सर्वमंगलकराय नमः ॐ श्री साई सर्वसिद्धिप्रदाय नमः ॐ श्री साई पापनिवारिणे नमः
नाम अनेक है, रूप है नाना, एक ही है पर करुणा निधाना. नेम्स आर मैनी, फॉर्म्स आर मैनी, बट द मोस्ट कंपैशनेट लॉर्ड, ही इज वन विदाउट द सेकेंड. ही इज आवर ओन भगवान श्री सत्य साई नारायणा, भक्त परायणा श्री सत्य साई नारायणा. द इंटायर एम्बियंस, डियर ब्रदर्स एंड सिस्टर्स, is reverberating with the divine vibrations of the powerful names of the Lord we just recited. This conference, dear brothers and sisters, takes me to the memory lanes of my Balvikas days, because whatever we are doing here today and whatever we have done here yesterday is nothing different which I learnt as a Balvikas child. In one of my Balvikas classes, my Balvikas guru asked me a question. Can you tell me that is it possible for anyone to talk with God sitting anywhere in any corner of this world? I was perplexed. I was a small kid. And then he told me, yes, there is one technology which is as old as the origins of mankind, and that technology is embedded within each one of us. That is the master key to all locks that we face in our lives. And that technology is the technology of prayer. There is no lock in this world, my dear brothers and sisters, that a prayer from the core of the heart of a devotee cannot unlock. And to enlighten us on the power of this prayer, I call upon Dr. Shashank Shah. Dr. Shashank Shah comes from a family of Sai devotees who have been devoted to Bhagwan since 1965. He completed his PhD and postdoctoral research in corporate stakeholders management at the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Prashanthi Nilayam, in 2014. He has been a privileged to receive the Governor's Gold Medal for standing first at the Masters of Philosophy program in Business Management in 2006, and the President of India Gold Medal for standing first at the MBA program in 2004 from the Divine Hands. As the Chief Editor and Coordinator of Sai University's Publications Division for more than 6 years, he has compiled and edited over 30 books on message of Swami. From 2014, Dr. Shah has been visiting as a scholar at the Harvard Business School, project director and fellow at the Harvard University South Asia Institute, USA, and is also editor-in-chief of the Postdoctoral Editions Association, Harvard University, consulting editor at the Business India Group. I now invite Dr. Shah to enlighten us on the power of prayer.
यम् ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्र रुद्र मरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवै वेदै साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदै गायन्ति यम् सामगाः ध्यानावस्थित तद्गते न मनसा పశ్యంతి యం యోగినో యస్యంతాం న విదూసురా సురగణ దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. ఐ ఆఫర్ మై మోస్ట్ హంబుల్ లవింగ్ అండ్ రెవరెన్షియల్ ప్రణామ్స్ అట్ ద డివైన్ లోటస్ ఫీట్ ఆఫ్ అవర్ మోస్ట్ బిలవెడ్ భగవాన్. లెట్ అస్ గో బ్యాక్ ఇన్ టైమ్ 25 years. This very place, this very portico, it was the 7th of March, 1993. One of the students asked Swami, Swami, we are satisfied with the prayers that we make, but sometimes our prayers go unanswered. Is there a problem with the methodology of the prayer? Swami said, the use of the word prayer itself is wrong. Be in Atma, live in Atma. That is the answer. Immediately one of the devotees said, Swami, this is, you're talking about a very high state. Please tell us something very simple. Swami said, just because Delhi is very far, will you stop your journey and change your destination? Low aim is crime. Aim high, achieve the goal. The word prayer in itself has the elaboration on what it stands for. Let us go through each of these alphabets and see what is the power of prayer. So we'll start from the last letter, R. Prayer is a reminder. Reminder of what? In 2007, after the Akhand Bhajan, we were all sitting in the Bhajan hall. Swami accepted the aarti and then immediately indicated that he wanted the mic. We were all delighted because after years, Swami was going to give a discourse after Akhand Bhajan. The first thing Swami said, you all are all very happy that you have done Akhand Bhajan. But let me tell you, this is not Akhand Bhajan. This is Khanda Bhajan. Broken Bhajan. Only 24 hours out of a long life of several decades. Akhand Bhajan starts from the womb and goes on till you enter the tomb. It is a constant reminder that God has put in your own system which tells you 21,600 times a day. So, hum. You have an automatic alarm inside. Every breath tells you that. But you have forgotten. So the first job of prayer is to tell us that we are divine. It's a reminder. And let us see how Swami has put in place a beautiful system to remind us every single part of the day. We start with Suprabhatam. And that is awakening the divinity within us. We have bath, and Swami always used to encourage the students to chant the Gayatri Mantra when you have the bath. Swami used to say, if you chant the Gayatri when you are having bath, it is no longer bath, it becomes Abhishekam, because you are cleansing the temple of God in which divinity resides. You do Brahmarpanam before having food, and that prayer converts the food into prasadam. You chant the night prayer before you go to sleep, and you are praying to God to help you not to repeat the mistakes and guide you on the path ahead. Every single aspect of the prayers that we do is to remind us that we are constantly connected with divine. We may climb temples on top of hills, but what do we do when we go there? We close our eyes. We don't see the statue, but we close our eyes. Why? Because we are reflecting the divinity which is residing in us. The statue is only a reminder of the divinity residing within us. That is why we close our eyes. Sister just mentioned about the word Namaha. At the end of every prayer, every mantra, the word Namaha comes. What is the meaning? Swami always used to say, Namaha. Not me, but you. Not I, but God. It's a constant reminder in our journey that we are absolutely out of the equation. It is God and God alone. That's the first power of this prayer. Reminder. Second, E. I'm going backwards. We were all sitting in Tri Brindavan. Swami was sitting in the beautiful Jula. And Swami asked a question. Imagine there is a grand celebration of the wedding of a person in a village. But the sky is overcast, rains are about to commence, and this particular person is praying that let it not rain, O God, otherwise my daughter's marriage will get washed off. At the other end of the village is a farmer. He's sown the seeds. He's ready to reap the harvest. He's praying, O God, please ensure that there are rains. Whose prayer should God listen to? Swami is asking the students. Quiz program. All students give answers. Some say, Swami, marriage is very important, once in a lifetime, so it should not rain. Some say, Swami, farmers wherewithal livelihood depends on the rain, it must rain. So Swami said, very good. Now I will give the answer, the final judgment. Both of you are wrong. What is the correct prayer? The correct prayer, Swami said, is, O Lord, you know what is good for everyone. Let that which is good for everyone happen, because your will is supreme. In 2005, when Swami had come to the Prashantalam campus at the changing of the Vice Chancellor ceremony, Swami concluded the discourse and said, the most powerful prayer is what I have given all of you, which you chant every single day. Samastha lokaha sukhino bhavantu. Let all the beings in all the worlds be happy. Why? Because when you pray for everybody's well-being, your own well-being is also taken care of. So do not be selfish. Leave everything to God. In the Satya Sai Vahini, Swami writes, there are only three kinds of prayers that God directly responds. First, that which involves selfless love. Second, that which involves selfless service. And third, that which involves selfless sadhana. If we see, the Satya Sai Seva organization itself is divided into these three wings. And Swami has integrated these three core aspects of prayer in our organizational structure itself. In 1947, when Swami had written that letter to his brother, Seshamaraju, he mentioned one thing very clearly, and in our attempts to pray to God, that's a very powerful reminder. Swami writes, I have a very clear definition of devotion. Those devoted to me should accept success and failure, joy and sorrow with equanimity. The next alphabet, Y. Let us go to the 1978 summer course. Swami gave a beautiful Chinnakatha. I've gone through all the literature that's available, so we have the distilled essence of Swami's message. In that Chinnakatha, Swami narrates an experience from the life of Guru Nanak, the founder of Sikhism. Guru Nanak was uniting the Hindus and Muslims of India in that era, in the 15th century. And the Mughal emperor was very impressed by his attempts. So he invited him to the mosque so that he can be a part of the prayer in the mosque. Guru Nanak accepted. The Mughal emperor sent a palanquin. Guru Nanak said, you go to God's house as a beggar, not as a king. He walked to the mosque. The mullah started the prayer and Guru Nanak started laughing loudly. The congregation was quite taken aback but kept quiet. After a few minutes, the Mughal emperor himself started the prayer and Guru Nanak laughed even louder. The Mughal emperor was quite astonished. You see the audacity of laughing when the Shahenshah of India is praying. So after the prayer was over, the emperor went to Guru Nanak and asked him, why did you laugh when we prayed? Guru Nanak said, I laughed because the mullah was not praying. He was thinking about his sick son who was lying with high fever in his home. His attention was on his son, not on Allah. That's why I laughed at the futility of his prayer. Then the emperor asked, why did you laugh when I prayed? Nanak said, you know why I laughed, Badshah. Were you not thinking of those beautiful horses that you have received as gifts just this morning? You are so fond of horses. Your attention was on the horse, not on Allah. That's why I laughed at the futility of the prayer you made in this grand mosque in Delhi. Prayer means sincere yearning for God. In May 1994, this is the definition Swami gave in Kodaikanal. What is the power of prayer? What is the kind of yearning it requires in order to please God? Here is a beautiful experience from the life of Swami. This was during the Akhand Bhajan in the late 1960s in Bangalore. Swami had just completed the bhajans, attending the bhajans. It was late in the evening. Bhajans were going on. Swami went to the residence of one of the devotees to take rest for the night. Immediately on reaching home and having his dinner, Swami said, "I have to go back to the bhajan hall right now." The organizer said, "Swami, you've been there all day. Please take rest. Tomorrow morning we will go." Swami said, "No, I have to go now. Please get the car out. We have to leave." Swami and the devotee left for the Akhand Bhajan. There, in the first row, there was a gentleman who was praying with closed eyes, with tears trickling down his cheeks. He was singing the bhajan, "Darash Dikhao Mere Sai Nand Lala." His body had discoloration on it. It was not normal. He was suffering from some ailment probably. With closed eyes and an ardent desire, he was praying to Swami for yearning for his love. The bhajan was going on. Swami went and stood right in front of him. This gentleman did not know that the Lord whose darshan he was praying for had already arrived. Swami was swaying to the bhajan. This gentleman was singing with all yearning. And then, when he opened his eyes on completion of the bhajan, Swami put his hand on his head. Right in front of all the devotees gathered there, the discoloration from his body gradually vanished and the person's ailment was all gone. This gentleman did not know what was happening to him, but everybody around saw what was happening. Swami said, "Let us leave to go back home." The small daughter of this gentleman, this is Srimati Geeta Mohan Ram, has narrated this. She said, she was a small girl that time. She asked Swami, "Swami, you could have cured him tomorrow morning. Why did you have to run now to the bhajan hall?" Swami said, "The yearning with which this devotee was praying for my love, I could not have rested on the cot in your house this night. I had to go now." That is the power of his prayer. Yearning is the soul of the prayer which we make to God. In contrast, once, all the students were with Swami in Kodaikanal. The students were praying before the food, Brahmarpanam. Swami was watching everybody praying. The prayer was over and we were about to eat. Slowly Swami said, "All of you chanted Brahmarpanam, but none of your prayers reached me, though I am sitting on the next table." Nobody chanted with fervor. Everybody is in a hurry to eat your food. So you may be near to God, but you may not be able to reach out to Him. You may be far away from God, but God will run to your rescue to take care of you. So yearning is the most important aspect. I was recently in Austin, in Texas, in USA. One of the young adults asked me, "I do not know Sanskrit. Can I pray? Will God listen to my prayer?" Such an innocent question. Yesterday, Brother Avinash Kulkarni made a fantastic presentation on the power of Vedam, chanting Vedam, and said that the vibrations, and for those who didn't attend, it was a part of the conference proceedings, he concluded that the vibrations in Prashanti Nilayam, as per the scientific measurement that he has undertaken, are the highest vibrations as compared to any other pilgrimage place anywhere in the world that he has done. And he has visited 100 pilgrimage centers across the country and the world. That is the power of vibrations. Yet, coming back to the question on Sanskrit, do we need to pray to God only in Sanskrit? Do we need to pray to God only in English? Which language does God understand? Swami had answered this question when he said, "There is only one language, the language of the heart. And a pure thought from a pure heart is more powerful than the mantra." So you see the beautiful blend that Swami has put before us, the power of the mantra chanting in Prashanti Nilayam and the power of pure thought emanating from our heart is a fantastic combination that helps both in our own transformation and in the well-being of the world. The next two alphabets, A and R, what do they stand for? Action and result. A hilarious Chinnakatha Swami had shared once. There was this boy who was writing his mathematics examination. It was a difficult subject for him, so he had a deal with God. If I clear this exam with flying colors, I will make chakra pongal for you and offer it to you in the altar. He went to the examination hall, saw the question paper. He thought it is easy, so mentally he prepared a cost sheet for the chakra pongal. This much amount of money it will cost. As he started answering the questions easily, he started removing one by one the contents of the chakra pongal. Finally, as the exam was concluding, he decided that God doesn't need chakra pongal. Only water is enough. I'll take the toyam from the kitchen and give it to God in the altar. So he went home, went to the kitchen, very diligently took that glass of water and offered to Swami in the altar. Then his father asked, how was the examination? He said, great, show me the question paper. He went inside, opened his bag, and he shouted, God has cheated me. His father was wondering what happened, where did God come into the picture? It seems in his excitement of completing the paper with great success, he had brought the answer paper home and given the cost sheet of chakra pongal in the class. Then his father said, God has not cheated you. You have cheated yourself. You are doing these deals with God. I will do this. You do this in exchange. If this wish is fulfilled, I will come to Tirupati to shave my head. Swami once said, does Lord Venkateshwara need your dirty hair? He has beautiful locks of his own. If you have anything to give to God, give him your pure heart, because that is your only possession. So this prayer should not be an exercise in begging. It should be an exercise in partnership with God in this journey ahead. Don't beg to God that I want this, I want that. Pray to him that I want you. Having received him, what more do we want? That's why Swami used to say, don't come to the Kalpavruksha and ask for coffee powder. Coffee powder is available in the market. Come to God and pray to him for that which only God can give. So what is this A and R? All the actions that we do should be done with the prayer that we do our best. But the R, the result of this action, should be left to God and his will. If we see the mural in the bhajan hall, it has a beautiful mudra. What is the mudra? Like this. Krishna is showing one finger to himself and one finger like this. Maam ekam sharanam vraja. Dedicate everything to me. I am the sole refuge. I am the one who does everything which is in your best interest. So the action should be done with the prayer that we give our best. And the result should be left to his will, because he knows the best. The last part, and that is P. The power. P. Power of prayer. I'll narrate a small personal experience and conclude with the power of prayer. Just this very place where these brothers who have chanted the Vedam and singing bhajans, I was sitting, it was 2007 April. I had this desire, it was my birthday time. I had this desire that Swami should call me by my name. Swami always used to call me by synonyms. Bombay boy, Shah, that boy who spoke last week, all possible synonyms. But he won't call me Shashank. So I wrote in my letter, Swami, it is my birthday, it is my prayer. Please call me by my name. In the thousands of devotees and hundreds of letters that Swami would be taking, he took my letter, went away. A week later in the bhajan hall, I was praying to Swami for blessing me as I was commencing my PhD. Swami called me, and then in the conversation, he told the people around, you know this Shashank? He's a gold medalist. You know this Shashank? He got 5 out of 5. You know this Shashank? He's a very good speaker. I was wondering, all these years, Swami never called me by my name. Why is he calling me by my name, Shashank, Shashank, Shashank? After 5 minutes after the conversation, I went back and sat down. Then it struck me like a thunderbolt. I had only prayed the previous week that Swami should call me by my name. I had prayed and forgotten that I had prayed for this. But Swami does not forget whether the prayer is made in the interview room or made here amid thousands of devotees. He will remember what you have prayed for. He will give you what you have prayed for. But we have to be ready for the consequences for what we have paid for. So Swami always used to say, you don't pray for anything because standing on the shore of the ocean, you do not know what lies in the treasure house of the ocean. You will only ask for shells. Leave it to God and He will give you what is best for you. Did He not give Shabri what was best for her, liberation itself? Did He not give Jatayu his lap at the last moment when he was breathing his last, an opportunity which even Dasharatha did not get? It is this power of prayer which Mother Earth made that Krishna came down on this earth. It is this power of prayer that the Devas made that Rama came down on earth. It is the power of prayer that Prahlada made that Narsimha came on this earth. It is the power of prayer that Venkavadhuta made that Swami came down on this earth, as Swami had said. That is the power of prayer that we are all endowed with. It is this power of prayer which saved Draupadi from humiliation. It is this power of prayer which saved Arjuna from defeat. It is this power of prayer which saved Gajendra from the quagmire. It is this power of prayer which saved Dhruva from ignominy. It is this power of prayer which is available to all of us. Let us use this most powerful and potent tool only for one purpose. This power of prayer can enable the sitting to stand, the standing to walk, the walking to march, and the marching to merge. Let us use this power of prayer which is available with each one of us so that we may merge in oneness with our Divine Lord and conclude this beautiful sojourn on earth that He has blessed us with to be in His close physical proximity. The journey commenced from Him. The journey continues with Him. The journey ends with Him. Let this be our prayer always at all times. Jai Sai Ram.
Thank you, Dr. Shah, for enriching us in such a thought-provoking manner on the power of prayer. I am reminded of an incident which Swami told in one of His discourses. When Dushasana was trying to disrobe Draupadi, Draupadi was praying to Krishna to save her. She was calling Vrindavan Vihara, Nanda Gopala, please come to my rescue. And then everything, we all know what happened. After everything was over, few days later or maybe few months later, Draupadi questioned Krishna. Krishna, I was in such a difficult situation and I prayed you so intensely. And you took so much of time to come to my rescue? Why? Then Krishna said, Draupadi, what should I do? You called me Vridaya, Vrindavan Bihara. So I had to first go to Vrindavan and then come. Then you called me Nanda Gopala. I have to first go to my father's house, Nanda, become his Gopala and then come to you. But the moment you called me, hey Hridaya Vihara, I had to immediately come to you. So, this, brothers and sisters, I personally feel that should be the essence with which we should pray. And at this occasion, let us all gather together and pray together at His lotus feet. Because when we pray together, the power of prayer grows exponentially. So now we have a session entitled Together We Pray, which consists of several prayers and a prayerful song, Vaishnava Janato. It would be rendered by Mrs. Preeti Nair and youth from Kerala.
Vishwarupa
Objective of all these spiritual practices that we have been doing since yesterday, namasmarana, japam, dhyanam, prayer, meditation, whatever we are doing, the essence and the goal of this spiritual journey is self-realization, and that is the primary objective which Swami has assigned to Sri Satya Sai Seva organization in its charter when he ordained that charter to the organization. He said, it is to awaken in man the inherent divinity that is present inside him. And in this journey towards self-realization, self-transformation is a key factor. It is the blossoming of that human excellence that is present within each one of us. Indeed, that is our core nature. And when Swami said, what is excellence? He said, excellence is not doing extraordinary works. Excellence is doing ordinary works extraordinarily well. It is not doing one thing 100% better. It is doing 1,000 things at least 1% better each day. So in our journey towards self-realization, in our journey towards this excellence, how do we know that whether we are on the correct path or not? Whether we are making the desired progress or not? In this endeavor comes the role of self-audit. Self-audit is of paramount importance. And I now have the privilege of inviting Dr. B.G. Pitre to expound on the topic Self-Audit, the Royal Road to Transformation. Dr. Pitre is the director of Institute of Satya Sai Education in India. He has had an illustrious career as a teacher, educator and a principal, dedicating himself in the mission of education in human values. He has traveled the length and breadth of India and also abroad to conduct several workshops, training sessions and delivering lectures in Sri Satya Sai Education in Human Values. I now invite Dr. B.G. Pitre.
My Lord and Master Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, River Elders, Brothers and Sisters, Dear Students, I have been praying all along that Swami, please, through me, communicate what you want to communicate. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Swami has said, an unexamined life is not worth living. The topic given here is self-audit for a particular purpose. The word audit, as you all know, has been borrowed from the world of finance. They want to know the health of the organization in terms of money. And therefore they have got certain criteria they go through and decide whether the firm has got working efficiently or not and trying to meet its objectives. We are talking about audit of ourselves. Now, the firms, the organizations, the institutions can always take the advice from outside, the auditors come from outside. And they do this very objectively. When it comes to self-audit that we are talking about, that audit has to be done by us about ourselves. The major difference is one was a subjective audit and the other happens to be an objective of it, because I am deciding things about myself. I am trying to find out things about myself. This, as you know, brothers and sisters, is a very difficult thing. If I do something wrong, I try to search for hundreds of excuses before I say sorry. We don't search within. Swami has said once, you have been able to reach the moon and the Mars, but even to go half an ounce within is extremely difficult for us. And unless we reach that particular level where it will be clear to ourselves exactly what we mean to do and what we mean to ultimately reach, it is a very, very long journey. But let us look at the parameters simply, in simple words. It is not only for the office bearers and the high officials and other people, not even for the students, not even for the devotees who may be here, but it is for everybody to understand 2-3 parameters. Number one, we always are dealing with organizations, human beings, anything, wherever we are working, with two parallel things. I remember Swami saying this in 1979 during the summer course in Whitefield. He says, there is the goal and there is the path. Let us be very clear. An organization which has its own audit has a goal. We individuals have joined the organization voluntarily with a certain goal, an objective, a target, which was mentioned here in many different words. And then in addition to that, in order to reach the goal, we must have a path. The journey must begin from here to that, and therefore the path must be known. If we don't have the path, where will we land? Now the paradox of the situation is usually that between the two, we are not very clear which one do we choose and which has a priority. Please understand, in this Satya Sai organization mentioned just now, our goal is very, very clear given in the charter. To realize the divinity within. There cannot be any compromise on that. The compromise, if at all, has to be done in the path that we choose. Different individuals, according to their status, standing, their journey, their determination, and several other situations and places, may choose different paths. Swami has always suggested that all paths lead to me. Swami has said in the Gita, whichever way you do, it comes to me. But the point is, how do we know my path is the correct one? How do I know? Billions of people in this country right now are suffering because they chose a particular guru who is in the jail. Something went wrong. Let us understand this. So therefore, there must be certain criteria of choosing what is the path that I should choose to the goal that I want to attain. And how do we decide this? This is what self-audit is about. The goal is very clear, realization. And that means a transformation which has to take place within. But in order to have the transformation to take place within, I have to tell my mind, change yourself. Now that is the most difficult thing. I am here. Something was read about me, I think. You are such and such person and so on. All that I have attained in my life is because of what my mind is now. And now you are telling me, change the mind. All the success, apparently, I mean, we always say in the management, lots of people say, I have been successful. But actually they are success fools. Because the goal is different. The goal is different. So let us understand, to realize ourselves, first choose. Do we want to choose the goal or the path? There cannot be any progress without that. And it should be very clear first to understand the goal has been given by Swami. The goal you have chosen voluntarily, that goal is permanent, eternal. It cannot be changed. The philosophy cannot change. Now we come to the next part of it, which is how to implement that. How to ultimately choose the path that we want to travel upon. And for this there are certain criteria given. Swami has been so compassionate. He gave the goal in the charter. And he gave the path also in the charter with the 9-point code of conduct. It is very clearly given. Now the point is, if we are going to compromise with that also, then there is no end to this. Which are the 9 points? If you look at it and try to find out for yourself, am I doing this? No, this is another trick my mind plays now. Am I doing this? We talk about, let's say the first one, meditation. Am I doing it? No, there are hundreds of types of meditation. There are hundreds of ways that are being done. And there are all kinds of shortcuts, as you have mentioned yesterday or today. The people try to take a shortcut. The best way is that. And this is the age of shortcuts, you know. Fast food, fast yoga, fast dhyan, everything is like that. So it is very important that this sadhana path is something which is divinely managed, and therefore it has to be very slow, steady, perseverance. Shraddha and Sapuri are the two terms we all have been talking about, Shirdi Baba. So we must first have the Shraddha when we join here, that this is my goal, and I have chosen my Guru now, and this is what I will follow. And then be very slow in going it. Why go fast? It is for him to decide where you land up. It is for him to decide where you are. But choose a path which will take us in a particular direction. That is the self-audit that we need to do, and it has to be done by every individual separately. Take for example. These examples are necessary because we know about them, so we must take the example. We have in Mumbai a system of bhajan singers audition. Good. Now, what is that audition? It is a test. It is the audit of that particular person whether you are competent enough to sit there and lead the bhajan. So, I have to prepare for that. Now, the point is, what are the criteria of audition? That Atri will decide. He is the person to decide. But I must know what it is in order to prepare for that. Bhagwan says when you are singing, you know, the simple thing Bhagwan says, there is a taal and there is a raag and there is a bhav. Relatively, which are important? I don't know what is in mind of Atri, which is going to be important. So the point is, there are several parameters which are there, and we have to ultimately take the decision. I think it is not probably the taal. Maybe I will go wrong somewhere. It is not probably the raag also. Maybe some note may be bad. Bhav is important, is it not? Because it comes from within. Now I am trying to say something. The taal and the raag is learned from outside, but the bhav has to come from within. So I have to have a source of that power we talked about here, which will give me the bhav from within. That power can only come from divinity being present here. Sometime back, 2011, I remember one of the very, very high official of the organization said, for all small little things, I used to go to Bhagwan. Not just marriage of the daughter or the changing of the job and thing like that. But thing like Namkaran of my son, this thing, that thing, everything, we lit to Sahaj. Swami, what he says is okay. 2011, things have changed. I don't know what to do. Whom do I go to? The point is here. But we never explored here. We always went external to us, but never went internal to us. The whole parameters change now. But the point is, the next step is always to realize the divinity within. That Swami has given. How do we do that? The second point, which was not mentioned just now, is to practice the five values. And how do I know that I am practicing the values or not, is another great question that we have to ask. Because the dharma changes for different people. Dharma at the highest level is the same. But the actual practicality of the dharma changes upon. There is a stri dharma, there is a kshatriya dharma, there is a another dharma, and so on. Student has got his own dharma and so on. So one has to choose those things according to that. But how do I know that I am doing it? Only through self-audit. And the third point given in the charter is also there. First is, realize the divinity within. That's the goal. Second is the path. Follow the five values in practice. And the third is, therefore, to experience love, peace, joy, harmony. This is the third point given in the charter. And therefore, Swami has given to us the 9-point code of conduct. So everything is there. Then what is wrong? Then why things are not happening? Every time Swami has been saying, and then Anil Kumar raises the voice of that, we all clap. You must have seen it. When Swami says, first be, then do, then tell, we clap. Do we do that? Do we tell those things which only we will follow? I think the rule should be, don't tell if you cannot do. Don't do if you have not told. Now these are the practicalities of going along the path that every individual has to decide. Sequence is very clear, Swami has given. First be, then do, then tell. I remember in 1998 or something, I was in the Puranchan Hall, Swami was giving the discourse. And the discourse Swami said, you all do good things, but that doesn't mean you are good. The moment I heard it, what is it Swami is trying to say? You all do good things, but that doesn't mean you are good. Now the point is, what is Swami trying to say? The next sentence made it very, very clear. But if you are good, everything you do will be good. If you are good, everything you do will be good. Which means being good is very important first, fundamental, cannot be compromised, then doing good. And if we are able to be good and then practice it, that means the five values and so on, then it is very natural. Then be, do, tell. Then the next thing comes. Then we can say. In other words, unless there is a congruence, unless there is everything very common in thought, word and deed, we really not be able to go ahead in our journey. And that should be the first principle that we have to follow. All that I am trying to say, because time is very limited, is take any activity that you are going. Any activity you choose that you are working on and you are doing it, it remains an activity, but not a seva until there is a unity in what is happening. Whether it is Veda chanting, whether it is the village work, whether it is the Narayan seva, whether it is the Balvikas, it remains an activity at the physical level. Until the mind is involved in such a way and transformed in such a way that the goal is permanent, the divinity within. Baba has said it, I know I am God, you are God, I know, but you don't know. The goal is, how do we know I am God? How to be God? How to be God? The only thing is, take the path, have the saburi there, and then travel the path with that particular thing. 9-point code of conduct is extremely clear to us. Question yourself. In the process of questioning, do not play games. We ask wrong questions so that we get any convenient answers. That is not the point. Ask the correct question which may be inconvenient. The answer will be there, and that is what we have to follow. If we take a wrong question, it will not be there. I am saying something. Partly beautifully, partly something Swami has given. All I want to end up with saying is, if I am saying it with conviction, if I am following it myself, when I stand here and say, then I think I will deserve the claps. Otherwise I know Swami will say not claps, slaps. Saiva.
Shubhanana,
Gajavadana,
vadana shubhanana. Charana Gajanana, Vela
Charana
Gajanana, Vidyadayaka Buddhi Pradayaka,
Vidyadayaka Buddhi Pradayaka,
Vidyadayaka Buddhi Pradayaka.
Thank you. तारकं सदा भजो रे
राम नाम तारकं सदा भजो रे
राम नाम तारकं सदा भजो रे
सदा जपो रे
राम नाम तारकं सदा भजो रे
राम नाम तारकं सदा भजो रे
राम 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 जय कोदंड रामा
तारकं सदा भजो रे
राम नाम तारकं सदा भजो रे
हरे स्वामी सत्य साई हरे भक्त जना संरक्षक भक्त जना संरक्षक वैति महेश्वर ओम जय जगदीश हरे शशि वदना शीतला सर्वा प्राणपते स्वामी सर्वा प्राणपते आश्रित कल्पलतीका आश्रित कल्पलतीका अवतार ओम जय जगदीश हरे माता पिता गुरुदेव मरियं दयुनीवे स्वामी मरियं ॐ जय जगदीश हरे ॐकार रूप ओजस्वी गोसाई महादेवा सत्य साई महादेवा
Bye-bye.